All right, guys, it's that time. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
I'm Maria. Happy New Year! This is season 7, episode 7 of Sticky Pickles. Beating the January blues and Goldilocks boyfriend.
Ooh, happy 2024, Maria.
Happy 2024, girl. I'm having a hard time with this year number being what it is.
Why?
I thought it was 2019. Maybe 2015. What year is it?
Okay. Holidays were difficult. Yeah, I know. 2024, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's a beautiful one and a more peaceful one.
Oh, amen to that.
And a funnier one.
A funnier in a good way. Not a funny in a ha-ha, let's laugh through our pain kind of way.
Well, I'm willing to throw my story into the funny hat and see what happens.
All right. Throw your hat at me, Kroll. What? What is your sticky?
Beating the January blues. Okay. Mm. So here's the sitch. We've got Jess and Raquel. Okay. A happy couple, late 30s. And they are throwing a late New Year's Eve party for family and friends and their kids. It's the only reason it's late is because it's the only time everyone's free. You know, everyone's going to the in-laws and da 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 da. And what better way to beat the January dreary blues than throwing a big old family bash?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jess's partner, Raquel, comes from a big family, right? So the house is teeming with folks of all ages from her side. So grandma's there sucking back the gins, and Aunt Sally's there bossing everyone about, and her twin cousins, both comedians, are trying their new shtick on a gaggle of gigglers.
Yep. Sounds nice.
It sounds nice, right? And Jess' side is a little more modest. Like, she's an only child, and she only has a single aunt and a few cousins, none of whom have had kids yet. And because she has such a little family, maybe, she just loves these gatherings, right? I mean, the house is full, and it's merry and brimming with food and music and laughter. It's like Insta-worthy times a million.
Yeah.
And she also likes the busyness of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know when you've got to kind of cluck around and make sure everyone's having a good time and everyone's super happy? Like, people are playing a board game. People are gossiping in the kitchen. You know, there's all this stuff going on. And you can kind of just run around like a little bee and go, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
That sounds nice. I've never really experienced that. I've never really had that. I think I've been to like a party once, but it was for my husband's family that was like that. But yeah, not my experience, because I grew up with a tiny family. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not her experience either, right? It's her partner's experience.
Yeah.
So she tends to go check on the kids in the basement, see if they need anything. Or she runs around, you know, with canapes, complimenting everyone, like, loving those thigh highs, Aunt Polly. Grandma, lay off the gins. Jesus.
The stories that will fuel you all year.
Okay, so it's 11:35 on this fake New Year's Eve. The kids are still watching TV in the basement, right? Though the youngest ones have fallen asleep in the mound of pillows and blankets Jess had put out for them. There's popcorn everywhere, and she's just counting the heads. And one of the kids is missing. Where is Jack?
Oh, they're around somewhere, I'm sure.
Totally, but he can't miss fake midnight, right? Because it's a big family thing.
Oh, do they do like a countdown and all that?
Yes. So she asks the kids, but they don't even turn their heads or respond. They just go, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Yeah.
So she goes looking for Jack, right? She goes upstairs and downstairs and looks in the bedrooms and the bathrooms. She can't find him anywhere. And she decides that maybe she'll take a quick look outside before she'll mention it to anyone. Because, like, he's 16, right? He's not as keen on these family gatherings as he was when he was younger. Like, he'd much rather be playing video games, listening to music. Basically, you know, back against the wall, beat headphones plugged in, deep into whatever video thing.
Not at the kids' table.
Not at the kids' table. Just, and there's no one really his age. He's the oldest kid. You know, he's just in that middle bit where it's kind of difficult. And Jess understands that.
Yeah.
And Raquel, or, you know, partner Raquel, has no patience for people who find family gatherings boring, right? So Jess thinking, instead of alerting anyone, I'll just go and hunt outside, find him. She slaps on her Kodiaks and her down-fill jacket and heads outside. And she puts on her phone, you know, to get a bit of light, but the snow is deep, but not fresh. So she's like, she's feeling like a detective. can't see any footsteps. So she's calling his name, you know, and then she's thinking, oh, maybe he won't answer. He's probably having a cigarette or a swig in private somewhere. So she's kind of like looking around the trees.
She tried texting him. I'm sure he's got a phone in his age.
No, she has not. Weirdly.
Weird. Okay.
It's because I didn't think about that, Maria.
Did you forget that teens nowadays have phones? I'd be like, you'll get an answer pretty fast. Or worse, just call them and they'll be like, what? Or they won't answer.
No, they won't answer.
They won't answer.
I could lie and say, yeah, she calls, but he doesn't answer.
Okay. So she texts and calls and he doesn't answer. Okay.
He doesn't answer.
We've established that.
Okay.
I poked a hole. Too soon, I poked a hole. Okay.
So she goes around to the front porch, doesn't see him. She's just like, where the fuck can he be? She goes, okay, because it's really getting close to quarter to fake midnight. So she does decide, I'll do one more tour of the house, you know? And then she sees this like faint light in one of the basement windows, not where the kids are chilling out, but in like the dingy old laundry room area.
Oh, the secret space. Yes.
And the light is faint, right?
It's you know what? I would just turn around and leave it well enough alone. Don't. He's 16. Let him be.
If only she'd called you now, Maria, for help, but she does not.
He saw a very shapely vase in the corner and got some ideas and needed a moment. Leave the poor kid alone. Just leave him alone. Don't.
She doesn't. Jess doesn't think the way you do. She's just not. She just doesn't occur to her. She didn't occur to her to text the kid, right? Like, she's not a parent. You know,
it didn't occur to her that a 16-year-old might need a moment alone.
Well, she doesn't even know yet. She just sees a faint light. You're reading ahead. Okay. She sees a faint light in the laundry room.
It's a faint
room.
Light. But for no reason. Okay, gotcha.
So weird. What the hell? That's a car. So she goes over and she sees exactly what you're expecting. She sees the screen, right? Because he's sitting on the floor, resting against the wall beneath the basement window. Jess is peering in. And it's, of course, as you guessed, sexy stuff. Adult sexy stuff, right? Not super gross. Not super gross. Not super gross, but maybe
but
not
enough.
Apropos for a 15-year-old. Okay. So you're like, called it.
I mean,
2024 is going to be a great year for me.
I mean, a teenage boy needs a wank. I mean, surprise, news at 11, honestly.
You know what? Jess laughs. She can't help but laugh. Thank God it's she that kind of spied him do this, not Auntie Raquel. She would go ape shit.
Yes.
So, yeah. So she's about to turn away, right? When she sees that he's got something like red in his hand. Like red in... red and flowery.
Oh, flowery.
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 Flowery. And Jess knows exactly what that is. It's her flipping underpants.
Oh, no.
What ridiculous people call panties. And worse, these are Jess's dirty underpants. Dirty from yesterday underpants.
Oh, no. No.
The little horny twerp, Jack, must have grabbed them from the dirty laundry hamper.
That's so...
And Maria, this, Maria, is when Jess decides to pull out her phone and give you a little call. Is this the sticky pickle hotline?
Really?
Because I need some help at Udemy.
What? Does anything need to be done? Well, I mean, honestly.
Are you going to be able to look Jack in the eye?
No, but, you know,
everyone's going to go, it's going to be, why don't you like me anymore, Auntie Jess? I really like you. And you'll be like, I fucking know you like me.
You need to just give it... I mean, you can just be like, oh, I'm not feeling well, or just make up some bullshit excuse. I mean, you got nosy and caught a teenage boy doing the most typical teenage boy thing there is. And yes, it's gross and grody. And like,
do you knock on the door? Right, go inside, knock on the door.
Hey, I see you wanking with my dirty underwear. Stop that right now. I mean, really?
And then, no, you could just go, oh, hi. You're just getting some quiet time. And then obviously he will have thrown the pants back into the laundry hamper, right? And you could say something like,
I would burn those underwear.
Yes, you could say something like, oh, there's Granny's underpants.
And then he'll be like, oh, you just awakened something in me, and then you've made it weirdly worse. Don't do that.
Okay. Thank God you're here.
What you do is you be chill about it. Yeah. Yeah. You're just, and then later you don't want to awaken something. What you do is you throw those underwear out immediately.
Do you tell Raquel, partner?
Oh, God, yeah, this is hilarious. It would be like the first thing I tell her after everybody went home.
Yes, but then the family, then what if it comes up when Jack gets married?
What?
I mean, I get it that he's just beating away the January blues in his own way.
You did that on purpose. You just put these sexual double entendre story names.
It's my thing. It's my thing.
They're delightful. Thank you. Thank you. They are delightful. Okay, what was the other one you did? The good enough to eat?
You wouldn't knock on the glass and go, hello, hello.
You couldn't even go to like the bathroom and lock the door. Like you went to the basement. Like, also, what is he? No, you know, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to. This is too much. Too much.
Okay, sticky pickle over. Maria! Tell me about Goldilocks BF.
So we have Adam, who is still in the last years of his university days. So he's 20, 21 maybe.
Yep. A man.
He's a man, but only just. And he's heterosexual young man, and he's interested in dating. Now, Adam doesn't really have much experience with cultures that are not what he considers mainstream America. So he
hasn't traveled. He doesn't, He doesn't live outside his echo chamber.
And this is not political or anything. This is just literally like he just grew up in a very white bread area where everyone's very the same. But he's going to a university on a coast, meaning he's getting exposure to all sorts of different cultures and flavors.
Oh.
This is extending to his new experiences dating girls who are, in some cases, to his eyes, exotic.
Uh-huh.
And I know I just made a whole lot of people cringe. Believe me, I know.
Yeah, I'm cringing here.
So your story made me cringe. I'm going to make a whole bunch of other people cringe now, too, for different reasons. So at one point in Adam's junior year, his second to last year of university, he dates this girl named Phoenix. And Phoenix is a student who has come to their university, by the way, of mainland China. And after he's been dating Phoenix for a little while, like for like 2 or 3 months, Chinese New Year's coming up. And he's really excited to celebrate this important cultural holiday with Phoenix. So he is doing all of the Googling that he can. He's like, oh, I want to show her that I really appreciate and understand her culture. And Phoenix is inviting him to a party that their university group is putting on. And Adam shows up dressed head to toe in red, and he's shouting, double happiness to everybody! Gong Xi Fa Cai! Oh my gosh! Red envelopes! Oh my... Yeah, like totally going overboard. And Phoenix is about ready to melt into the floor with sheer horror and embarrassment.
Oh, it sounds like he tried, though.
He tried.
He could have just asked her, right? Said, "What? Well, tell me about it. What do I do?"
Could have. But he figured...
He could have texted her, right, Maria?
A text would have done the job. Well, in his mind, he was thinking, I'm being respectful of Phoenix by not expecting her to educate me.
Right.
Like, it's my job. I've got a computer. I can do this work. So I'm going to learn. I'm going to be respectful. So the problem is, like, he shows up with, like, the Google 101 version of, like, Chinese New Year. And, of course, Phoenix is like, okay, what the fuck is going on? Phoenix is just so horrified, but and she's like, okay, this guy just sees me as like an exotic whatever, and I can't deal with dudes like this, so no, pass. So they break up right after Chinese New Year, and Adam, you know, feel bad for the poor guy, right? You know, he's going, I don't really understand what I did wrong. I was trying to be respectful, and I don't get why me showing up and being...
We're supposed to celebrate. I checked all the colors. I had the envelopes, for God's sake. What's the drama here?
Yeah, he doesn't get it. And so he does what any young man would do in his situation, I guess. He calls his dad.
That's not what I would do.
Who is even more white bread than Adam.
Would he really call dad? Would he call dad about his university issues on the coast?
He's like, I don't understand what's wrong with you, you know, trying to share the culture experiences. Like, what's the big deal? Like, we, you know, we invite them to 4th of July and do fireworks. So why can't you do Chinese New Year stuff, that way? And Adam's like, I don't know, man, women are crazy. I don't get it. So he just they conclude their conversation going, women be crazy. And you know, we don't understand what we did wrong. And clearly,
many a man, I'm sure, finished conversation doing that. And women, in fact. So
they're crazy. I did nothing wrong. End of story. So some time passes. Junior year is coming to an end. And Adam makes a new paramour when the spring season comes in full. And her name's Adina. Because the spring semester is coming to an end, and soon it's going to be summer and school is ending. Adam says, come visit my folks in Indiana. And Adina's like, yeah, I've never been, so why the heck not? I like you. I'll meet your parents. And it's the moment Adina walks in the door with Adam, dad goes, oh, which one is she? And Adam goes, oh, Ethiopia.
He answers by the country that she's from?
So if you're Adina in the situation, what would you do?
I think I just took my heels and turn them 180 degrees and walk the hell out of Dodge.
That would be smart. That would be smart.
I was hoping she would show up for some party, you know, like all dressed up like he did for the for the Chinese New
Year.
That
would be amazing. No, Adina shows up just like a regular human being.
Because basically what I'm hearing is, oh, okay, you're going around the world and dating people from everywhere. And you happen to be an E right now. And Ethiopia be it. This is great. Feels great to be me. Feels great
and
to
Ethiopia,
be me.
Apparently.
Loving this. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Apparently, I represent all of Ethiopia. This is great. So, yeah, as you can imagine, that relationship does not last past the weekend. And there's another phone call when the breakup inevitably happens, Adam to his dad. Dad, I don't get it. Like, I was a gentleman. We had a nice time. She seemed to have a really great time with us here at home. Like, what am I doing wrong, Dad?
Okay. If he called me, I could talk for a while. I have a
These women
ideas.
Are all so crazy.
What he's doing wrong.
Okay, but you're not dad, but pretend that you're dad. I'm curious what you would tell Adam.
I can't talk, watching football. I don't know.
Okay, but you're invested in your son. You want your son to be happy. And you don't get it. Like, Adina seemed to be, she was very nice. She ate the food. She made good conversation. She was very polite. She smiled on occasion. What else does a woman want?
Okay. I know. Okay, you know what I do? I'll talk to her.
Your number's been blocked, Dad. You ain't talking to Adina. Adina has very wisely moved on and has learned a very valuable but painful lesson.
Okay, I don't know how to answer your question. That's all I can think of.
Basically, Dad agrees with Adam that women be crazy. And he goes, son, I think I see your problem. You need to stick to cultures that are more familiar to you. And you know which culture is probably the one that we love the best outside of our own. Well, we love to eat at the Olive Garden, so I would say your next one should be Italian.
Italian.
So Adam takes this one to heart, this advice from his dear old dad to heart. And I really...
Is this like some 1980s joke?
No, you know, I really wish it could be because this happened to me when I was dating.
Oh my God!
I was the Greek one.
You were the G. Big G Greece!
Yeah, I met the dad, and I was introduced, and literally the first words out of his mouth were, which one is she? And the guy I was dating said, Greece. That was literally how that went. So,
did he ask you to wear blue and white just to, you know?
No, I broke up with him, like, immediately after, but it was like, I was horrified, because I was like, oh my God, this guy's collecting girls from, like, a different ethnicity, so.
So, Italy.
We head to Italy. Well, Adam finds Julia, and Julia is so smart and so sophisticated. She sees guys like this a mile away, but she's also like trying not to prejudge Adam. She's like, maybe he's just likes me for me, and he's not just collecting ethnicities. And it's Christmas time coming up. And Julia says, well, we are going to do like a Christmas holiday thing. And now we're the Northern Italian Club. I need to tell you that. Like, we're Northern Italian. No, no, he goes, Julia, what can I bring? So he's learned a little bit of something. What can I bring, Julia? And Julia's like, oh, just if you want to bring something, like, just bring some Christmas food. Like, whatever kind of Christmas food you think would work. We're not picky. So then Adam does go to Google, and he Googles traditional Italian Christmas meals.
Did he do North Italian? Did he do that at least?
No, just Italian.
Well, he was clearly told.
He was clearly told. Did he listen? Did he understand? He was told. Did he really understand what he was being told is the question. No, but he's in the United States when he's Googling this. So Google's like, well, you want American answers to this question. So the first thing that shows up, do you know what would be one of the first things that show up if you Google that in the United States?
No.
The Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of this. I've seen that in a movie or a TV show recently. Yes.
This is a very big deal in the Italian-American community here because a lot of the Italian-Americans in the U.S. are based out of southern Italy. Near the sea. A lot of Sicilian folks, especially. So he's like, oh, seven fishes. I can totally bring like some crab cakes and maybe some like delicious herring or
I'll
something.
Bring some
like
salmon.
I'm going to bring like all sorts of fish. So he's like, listen, I asked her what I should do. I got a suggestion and then I did a little more research on my own. I've nailed this. So what is the inevitable conclusion when he shows up to this party? This is so predictable, but
I'm guessing they love him for trying and welcome him into the family with open arms and teach him the right ways of the Northern Italians.
Yes, pasta and panettone, right?
There we go.
But genuinely, if you've ever known an Adam, what is your advice for a guy like this? Like aside from grow the fuck up, but like how do you... What do you advise a guy like this who's clearly just trying but doing real bad?
Well, A, don't ask your dad unless he's an expert in it.
But I love my dad. He's the smartest guy I know.
Good. Go play golf, you know? Chop some wood, whatever.
Drop some wood.
No, chop some wood. I'm Canadian. Jeez.
Got back to your story again. Beating the January blues.
Look. Loads of people come from very insular villages. Most people in the world live in insular villages, not in big cosmopolitan cities. It's just mm-hmm. the way of the world, right? Mm-hmm. We all have mm-hmm. to do that walk of shame where we have to go somewhere new and learn how it is. Even if you lived in New York City, you come to London, it's going to be different.
It is. And it's very humbling every time. Yep.
Yes. So you don't know. No one knows. And you just learn as you go. And you're trying your best. And I think, Adam, you just rock on. Just maybe find better places to get advice.
Yeah, not really Google. You should talk to an actual human being.
Yeah, or like you suggested in my story, fucking text your girlfriend.
But like,
get it in writing.
Beyond the what should I bring, get real specific. And maybe what should I do and what should I not do?
Tell me about the party.
Yeah.
How does it go? What do people wear? What happens at these parties?
Ask questions, get curious.
What should I bring?
Yeah. Like, really specifically, what should I bring? And also, is this okay?
And also, stop being the fucking showboat of the whole evening. It's not about you, Adam.
Right.
Right? You don't have to come in and bring the biggest this and the best that and the biggest dinner. Just be nice, be in the background and pay attention. It's not about you. I know it's hard, but there's my advice.
That is really good fucking advice.
Wow. That's why we all come here to listen.
For our moralizing and our good advice. That's what we do.
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, and I know we did.
I mean, I'm smiling.
You know what to do. Review!
And some of y'all know, but just a reminder, we actually have launched a Patreon, and it's $3, and it just gets you our love, and it's basically our tip jar. Helps pay the bills for the show. So, patreon.com/stickypickles. And you can also get in touch with us on Instagram at Sticky Pickles Pod and anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. Bye-bye.
Maria's talking weirdly.
My throat really hurts from laughing at your story.
See you guys in a few weeks. Happy New Year.
Your story was bananas.
Thank you.
It was great.
And then, thanks, buddy.
You made me laugh so hard. I was like, oh God, it's a wanking story. Please, no. Oh, no. Just leave a teenage boy alone.
But can I just say, even though you called me early, I kept riding the wave to the end that I knew you would not be able to predict. And that's hard to do. I had to slalom through your giggles and your snorts of, of derision and laughter and grossing outness. And I slalomed.
You did slalom. It was expert slaloming. It was beautiful. It was